Acts chapter 6. I'm still talking about praying in the Spirit. I'm going to deal with some things tonight that are going to help you immensely. But in Acts chapter 6, you know, the seventh verse is the verse actually many years ago God gave it to this ministry. And we've been building from that verse for many years. But I want to start in the third verse because I saw something here. On the way here, I saw some things. It says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report. You with me? And notice the next qualification. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. You there yet? Y'all not there yet? Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Acts right before, what, Romans? Right behind the last gospel. I want you to see this. That's why I'm waiting on you. It says, wherefore, Acts 6:3 now. I could read the whole thing, but I'm just trying to cut these voices. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, right? Seven men of honest report. And I want to emphasize, full of the Holy Ghost. Now, the emphasis here, why I'm teaching on the benefits of praying in the Spirit, the value of praying in the Spirit. But notice here, he says, one of the things is full of the Holy Ghost. What that depicts, full of the Holy Ghost, and he said full of the Holy Ghost. They're able to pray in the Spirit. Because many times in the walk of the spiritual journey, you do not know what to pray, what to say, or what to do. But a person who can pray in the Spirit can get off in a place with God and find out what to do. Now, all of these things, all the things I'm going to say to you tonight, you can apply to your life. Whatever you may be dealing with that you cannot put your hand on, just pay attention. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now notice verse 4, and this is where I was really touched by the Holy Spirit of cutting over 30, coming on 44. And all these years, I never thought of this. But we give ourselves continue to prayer and minister the word. I thought about prayer. I knew the power of prayer and the ministry of word, but I never thought about how the early church prayed. The early church prayed in a dimension of prayer, of praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit and preaching. See, that just make a difference in just a prayer meeting now. The early church, after Acts 2, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to pray in the Spirit, that shifted the atmosphere. So if you want to shift the atmosphere in any given situation, pray in the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Every now and then you got something you need to shift, things not going right, right? Amen. All right, so they say, but we'll give ourselves continued to prayer and to the ministry of word. And I just talk about praying in tongue and then ministering the word. That's a powerful combination. And now watch the fifth verse now. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. Look what else they say about it. And of the Holy Ghost. And I denote the Spirit of God showing to me that each verse is talking about praying in the Spirit. We don't pray in the Spirit enough. All right? And Philip, and then he could go to name and all these fellas. I don't feel like mess with them name. I do like the old preacher. Go to verse 6. Whom they set before the apostle. Here they go again now. These were some praying people, eh? And when they had what?
Prayed.
They laid their hand on them. Now, they prayed in tongue over them. Because there was some commission they couldn't tell in the spirit world. Are you following me? And now our voice, this is the voice where this came from. And the word of God, verse 7, of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. I'm saying now that praying in the spirit, from that third verse up to 9, all the way through the book of Acts, had a great emphasis on what happened in the early church. So the church power, the believer's power, have been diluted by not contending for the faith in the realm of the Spirit by praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm saying, by divine inspiration, many things have been hindered and cut out and held back in your life by not knowing God's original plan of filling you with the Holy Ghost and a way to activate the Holy Ghost in your life. Praying in the Spirit is a way to activate the Holy Ghost. Who in the world do not want the Holy Ghost activated? Tell me who you are and get furthest from me as you can. If you want to walk in the Spirit, you want to do things in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost must be in a partnership and agreement with you, for the Holy Ghost know more than you know. We're not praying to an equal. Wow. We're praying in the Spirit and making contact with one who was there when we were created. He know all about you. He know what you're dealing with right now. And so in the word of God, decreed number of time, and verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonder and miracle among the people. Why? They did a lot of praying in the Spirit. So let me point out some things to you here. When you pray in the Spirit, at that dimension that the early church was praying in the Spirit, you can go all the way down. You see them, they're ministering to one another, but they pray in the Spirit. You get in 13 chapters, as they minister to the Lord, they're praying in the Spirit then. Praying in the Spirit, and I want you to hear this, the Lord gave me this in 4 minutes, less than 4 minutes. It's communication at a higher level. Good God Almighty. Put it down as divine communication with God, with the voice of God, with the voice of Jesus, with the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's communication at a higher level. It's communication at a higher level in the realm of the Spirit. I'm adding on as I go. In the realm of the Spirit. It's communication. Oh, my goodness. It's communication at a higher level. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're listening? Yes, sir. You'll take the enemy out. You cut him off. He can't go into that dimension. It's a rim, my brother from London. It's a rim that is too high for Satan. Good God Almighty. My goodness, you heard that? And we have been privileged by Almighty God to be baptized with His Spirit. Because actually when you're baptized with the Spirit, you're baptized with God's breath. That's the very life of God you're baptized with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you pray in the Spirit, oh my goodness, you're breathing holy. Holy, holy. You're using the holy breath of God to set up something on earth that Satan can't stop, you can't stop, your neighbor can't stop, because it's being built while you're praying, so you can't interrupt it yourself. Praying in the Spirit hides some things from you. Because you get in favoritism, and you be moving the checkers. But when you're praying in the Spirit, you can't move nothing because you don't know what's going on. So every time you open your mouth to pray in the Spirit, you're breathing God. Don't try to find it in no book, okay? You take in the word, pray in the Spirit. Inhale the word, exhale the word. Hello? This is not, my sisters and brothers, this is not common communication. This is more technical than IBM, internet, texting. This is the highest communication that ever existed. Hit a lava shot top. What I say is communication at a higher level, right? And you know, 1 Corinthians 14:2, turn that quickly. Come on, because I got to go to the next point. I'm breathing God. I'm breathing. Oh, wait a minute. Hold up. When I'm praying in tongue, I'm breathing God's will. According to Romans 8, 26-28, I'm breathing God's purpose. When I'm praying in tongue, I'm letting the love of God come out of me. Y'all ain't seen it. I know y'all ain't seen it. Y'all not seen it. See, because it'll be so wonderful when you understand this. See, when I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm praying the mind of the Holy Ghost. That's Romans 8, 26 through 28. Just mark it so you can look at it. When I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm praying the will of God in the earth realm, but also the will of God for my life that is being stopped by an enemy. All right. When you pray in the Spirit, here's a benefit. You're listening. You're making a connection that cannot be interrupted. You're making a connection. Remember Jesus said, I'm the vine, you the branches? But you're making a connection. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're making a connection with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with the kingdom, with the covenant, with the word of God, with all of the angels, everything that God has. You're connecting with it. And it cannot be interrupted. Why? It cannot be interpreted by the enemy. You're making a connection, a supernatural connection with all things are possible. You didn't hear it. You're making a supernatural connection with divine facts that is spirit on spirit, and you're putting yourself in a position while you're praying in the Spirit, all things are possible. Every time you pray in the Spirit, heaven hollers. All things are possible. Y'all ain't ready for me tonight. Y'all ain't ready for me tonight. When you're praying in the Spirit, heaven is screaming. All things are possible. You're connecting with the explosive possibilities of Almighty God. Cannot be interrupted. When you're praying in the Spirit, you can't interrupt yourself. And a lot of times, the reason we miss a blessing, we interrupt ourselves, or we let somebody else interrupt us. But sometimes we interrupt ourselves. Sometimes we have too many scriptures. And none getting saturated, you just got them flowing. No, there's a scripture that turned from a logos to a rhema. It turned from a written word to a live word. Put brakes on right there. That's where God about to do something. That's where the awe about to be hit. That's where we're about to drill now. Don't run and get nine more scriptures. This one have come alive. By itself, it will produce what you're praying about. Somebody help me in here. Don't ever leave that live scripture to add scripture to it. The live scripture is God have given you an answer. He's saying, I'm going to do it right here. You know, God don't need nine scriptures, you know. one word. All right, so now you know the importance now. You're praying at a higher level. You're praying also. You're making a connection that cannot be interrupted. And that's, I guess I need to walk you through it. Go to Romans 8. You've seen this before, 26 through 28. You end up at the 28th verse here, all things work together for good for them that love God, those who are called according to his purpose. But the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Now, I told you there's power in infirmities. God dog it. Boy, you heard me? Yeah, because some of y'all feel so bad because you got infirmities. You're going to have some, baby. I don't care how much you train yourself. I don't care how much school you went to. I don't care how many times you look in the mirror and practice. You got some infirmities. But your infirmities can be turned in. You can turn your infirmities in for power. The weaker you are, the stronger you can become. The dumber you are, the smarter you can become. Oh, God, praise you for my infirmities. That I can trust the Holy Ghost and lean not to my own understanding and not be derailed by the enemy. Because I'm not trusting myself. I'm trusting Jesus. I'm trusting the Christ, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. You know him? Look, some of y'all don't know him. You know him? I said some of y'all don't know him. Y'all know him? See, every time his name mentioned, you need to wave your hand, man. You know him? Yeah, you got to give him some praise. See, we didn't put him on a common level. You mention his name, it's just like mention somebody else's name. But when we mention his name, you need to do some kind of accolades or something. Did he do anything for you? See, don't let his name be mentioned. We put his name in commonplace. But now notice what it said in Romans 8:26. We're talking about connection that cannot be interrupted. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. I need help. For we know not what we should pray for as well. That is. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession. Jesus is an intercessor too. For us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows. Searches the heart. See, you can't. There cannot be no heavenly transaction without your heart being right. You see what the 139th Psalm says? What voice it is? 139th Psalm. What voice it is? It's 139th Psalm. 23 and 24. Turn that quick and we're going to flip back. See, your heart has to be right to pray. So the Holy Ghost search your heart. And he sees what's in there blocking you from making connection. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thought. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Yes, 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 yes. Your heart cannot be fully searched unless you pray in the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost can find that thing you're hiding. You can hide it from me. Hello, Reb. But you can't hide it from the Holy Ghost. He go down there and say, what is this? Well, I didn't know that was in there. Well, let me get it out for you. Search me, O God, know my heart. You want a clean heart. Out of the heart come the issues of life. And the Holy Ghost is a heart searcher. That you might have the mind of the Spirit, man. You might have the mind. You might have a head sakona. You have the mind of the Spirit. What? Because you make intercession for the saints according to the will of God, that is, we know all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Purpose, God's will, my goodness. You know, the Holy Spirit brings us in God's purpose. It gives us a feeling of God's love. You become, you listening?
Yes, sir.
You become undefeatable. You get further enough in the spirit realm, the Father have designed your and his relationship to become undefeatable. Now, when you pray in the Spirit, as we've seen in Acts, they were praying in the Spirit, they laid hand on the boy and sent him out, and then they said, find men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And I'll talk about how much wisdom praying in the Spirit will bring, but when you're praying in the Spirit, the Lord said to me, tell my children they are controlled in spiritual traffic. You're controlled in spiritual traffic. As a matter of fact, you're setting up an open heaven for one thing. And so you have traffic from heaven. Like Jacob saw that ladder, God was at the top, the ladder, the angel was coming up and down. When you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in the Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 13, you're talking in the language of angels. And you begin to control traffic. You begin, listen to me, internet. You begin to control demonic traffic. You begin to shut it down. You begin to put red lights on demon power. They can't, you can't come no further. Then you beck on the other power. Come on through. Come on through. You got them heart. Whatsoever you bind on earth, binding and loosening, go on when you're praying in the Spirit. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. When you're praying in the Spirit, you are binding up some stuff. It can't move no more. There's stuff you binding, you will never know you binding until you got to heaven. Say, remember when you bought on your knees by that bed praying in tongues? Let me show you how many demons you bind up that tongue. I never heard that before. I just heard in the Spirit. I heard in the Spirit that when we pray in tongues, we are binding demons up and loosening the traffic of the Holy Ghost to do supernatural things, miracles, signs, and wonders. The reason we're not seeing miracles, signs, and wonders like we need to see them, because there's too much traffic running free in the church. There's not enough of us binding them devils, not just with English, but binding them in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. Pray till something rattle. Pray till something move. Pray till something move in the Spirit. We have to control this traffic. My goodness, he said, controlling, when you're praying in the Spirit, you're controlling spiritual traffic. I remember, don't even like to talk about it. My daughter got married twice, her first wedding. I wanted to have the best. And we're going down to New Orleans, and they shut the interstate down. I mean the whole interstate. Everybody pulling off, they're pulling off, go down another exit. We had the police escort, you know. And all the way down to New Orleans, shut it down. They pull them off on the side. You ever saw an interstate shut down? Yeah, you have. You've been in traffic jam, have you? You got all these look-a-loos. Sometimes ain't nothing happening but a look-a-loo. It is. There are traffic that has to be controlled by somebody full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, and full of power. Then your own personal traffic, all up in your house. All up in your life, all up in your finances, all up in your body, all up in your, what? I'm about to control some traffic. Shut that down. Y'all ain't ready for me tonight. y'all ain't ready for me tonight. Y'all ready? Yeah. See, now you got to say it. I'm about to control some traffic right here. Yeah, you got something going on wrong. Somebody brought bad report and somebody said it's going to happen. Say, no, I'll talk to you later. And go back and say, I'm going to control some traffic. Yeah, this There's too many people speeding here. Yalarabashaka. Got it? All right, sit down. Let me give you some more. And I give you a scripture to go with that. That's Jude. You got to come out of your senses to control traffic. Jude 19 is a person locking their senses. But you get over in the 20th verse, it says you build yourself on your most holy faith. Most holy faith. Most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And right after that voice, the next voice talk about love. Okay. See? My God, I want to get these out. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Here's another benefit the Spirit of God spoke to my heart in a few minutes. It's putting believers in a conquering position. Now, you know what Romans 8:37 say, right? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Turn to Romans 8. I think it's Romans 8:37. That's not the voice I'm going to give you for a footnote, but I want you to see that voice. You're not going to ever live Romans 8:37 without praying the Holy Ghost. Is that the voice in there? Huh? That's it? Somebody answer me. That's it, yeah. What did it say? Y'all read it. Read it, though. Read it. No, you're not if you don't pray in the Spirit. You can't move into that position without praying in the Spirit, because you got to shut traffic down. You got to make that communication. You see, a higher communication. And you got to make a connection that can't be interrupted. Right? Huh? Huh? Talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to me. Thank you. Putting the believer in a conquering position. Look at Acts 6:10. Acts 6:10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by what ye spake. Now, what the other voice said? Is Luke 21:15 or 22:15? 21:15. Go there. I want y'all to read that, because y'all, we got to open your mouth. Luke 21:15. Luke 21:15. That's another. That was Acts 6:10 now. I'm gone. Luke 21:15. This is a season to be anointed. Yes. Tell somebody next to you, this is a season to be anointed. This time of year, everybody need to get a fresh anointing. He said, now, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, put shut down, which all your adversary should not be able to gainsay nor resist. See, some of y'all won't say nothing. I'm trying to get you out of your problem and get distress and anxiety off you. It's time for breakthrough, man. I look at somebody, you want to open your mouth? Y'all don't know? Y'all can't pray in tongues? He said, I ain't praying in no tongue now. But just don't pray then. Just sit there. Trying to help you. Look at me though. What are you talking about? Praying in tongues? Yeah, I'm talking about praying in tongues. Now, this one, I didn't even take time to find a scripture for, because I think it speaks by itself. Praying in the Spirit makes conferred, C-O-N-F-E-R-S, rights. Let me say it another way. Let me just say it like I got it wrong. Conferred rights become a reality. There are some things in the righteousness of God that is yours. It becomes a reality. When you pray in the Spirit, it becomes such a reality that it becomes real to you. And then you begin to reign, and you begin to walk in authority, and you begin to have dominion. And then church folk gonna start looking at you. Because see, the conferred rights become a reality to you, and your language changed, your life changed. Your form of witnessing change. Your strong words when you speak them. You're sure of yourself. Let me show you. Battered but not whipped. Look like you're defeated, but you're still winning. See, and see, church folks at large can't understand that. See. Supposed to be crying, but you're shouting. No walls never fell from tears. The walls I know fell, the people were shouting. Hey, I'm ready for this. I'm ready for this. In other words, stop feeling sorry for yourself and shout. It's not over until you win. Now think about it. You ain't read, no walls fell. Joshua wasn't walking around the wall. Can I get through, Lord? Can I? No. He gave instructions. He said, wait, would you see me do something? You do it. Shout, we're going on in. I'll do something right now, and you'll come back with a report. Right now, I'll do something. I'll do something in the spirit right now. I'll do something in the spirit. I want you to think about the worst thing you're dealing with right now. You don't need to tell nobody. Worst thing you're dealing with. In a few minutes, I'm going to command you to shout, and that thing going to fall. Come on. Wait a minute now. That very thing you're dealing with, the very thing you're dealing with, in a few minutes, we're going to shout. Uh-huh. And we shout. That thing, I heard it in the spirit just right there. And we shout. And you might have been dealing with that thing for 17 years. Come on. We're going to shout, and I want you to check that very thing. Yes, sir. You ready? Shout. Hey! Listen. See, I got a strange anointing tonight. Listen now. Listen to what I'm about to say now. You got it. You receive it? See, by divine permission, he told me, tell him shout, and the proof of my word, I'm going to handle it. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You know, how can I say this without being disgraceful? I ain't know God was going to do all this tonight. Yeah. That you can't pre-practice this. You can't practice this neither. You can't practice it with less shouting now. Or everything. No, I ain't know nothing about it. I got around in the corner and said, tell them shout. I'm about to do something to show them. Woo! I tell you what, I'm glad I'm here. What? Boy, I'm telling you, my goodness. So, sit down. So you conferred right become a reality. When you're praying in tongue, you'll confer the right, your divine rights, right to be, right to have, right to go, right to do. All that's in your righteousness, you know. Huh? When you're praying in tongue, those conferred rights become a reality. Uh-huh. So that's why some people don't understand you. You're trying to talk to them, but they're not on that level. They say, I got the same Jesus. I belong to church. I've been baptized. Well, so many in the body of Christ have crises they can't handle because they don't know what we're talking about now. You go to one church and talk about praying in tongues, they'll put you out. Get on with me over that mess. y'all try to put some people out of his house. The lady trying to get him filled with the Holy Ghost. Get on out of here with that mess. Now he talking tongue. Best mess he ever had in his life. Now watch this now. Here's another one. When you pray in the Spirit, listen, children, I want you to hear this. When you pray in the Spirit, you charging the inner man to his maximum potential. Jesus, God, mercy. You're charging the inner man to his maximum potential. Look in Ephesians 3:16. The Holy Spirit just called that voice up. I don't have it down there, but it's a good voice for this. Charging your inner man. Your inner man will never reach its maximum potential without spending time praying in the Holy Ghost. Wait a minute. I'll tell them more. Wait a minute. Two things he said just there. I'll say it. I got to help him say it before I lose it. Charging the inner man to his maximum potential. There's a divine exchange that takes place when you're praying in the Spirit. And a divine charging at the same time. Your heart is being charged in the spirit realm. David couldn't explain it. So he said, and you know, just take this on a material level. My cup runneth over. I'm full of God. God is being maximized in my life. Everything else is on them. When you pray in the Spirit, there's a lifting. You leave here. And you look back down on yourself. And you look back down on the situation that you're dealing with while you're in the Spirit. Oh, that's not bad at all. I can handle that. But as long as you're in the natural, it look big. It when you magnify the Lord, you minimize everything else that is against you. See, because they say praying in the Spirit, they pray in the Spirit and magnified God. They also say they pray in the Spirit and they prophesy. So when you're praying in the Spirit, you're prophesying over your life. You're prophesying the next step to your destiny. Ephesians 3:16. That he would grant you according to the riches of glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You can't do that without praying in the Holy Ghost. See? Strengthen. Woo! Good God Almighty. See? Look at it. Look at 16 verse. That he would what? Come on. According to what? To be what? With what? See, listen to me. There's a statement made in the Bible. It's not by might, nor by power, but it's by my Spirit. That's a different might there. That's the might of the Spirit. He's mighty. Huh? See, when you magnify God, God promotes you. Why? It's a divine exchange. You can't operate in faith. You can't operate in the will of God. You can't operate walking in love without God doing something for you. Why is that? God is obligated to his own word. if you function in the word, in any aspect of his word, he's obligated to make something happen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Jeremiah said he watches over his word to do what? Perform. To perform it. Then he said in Isaiah, he said, my word will not, absolutely not, cannot return to me void. But it accomplishes what I said I do, and it shall prosper. So when you, a preacher, a priest, a king, you're a king and a priest, preacher, pastor, if they want to maximize their potential, they have to know the power of their infirmity, pray in tongue, and let God do it. Now, here's a word for somebody. Take your hand off of that situation. Take your hand off it. Your hand been on it long enough, it has not changed. Take your hand. Remember the Lord said, be still and know I'm God? Yes. Now, you know, sometimes God don't want you to fight. The Lord says the battle is not yours, it's mine. And the more you fight it, the more coal you're putting on the fire. It's sort of like Charles, we had dinner and Charles was talking, and he said that Marion and myself and other people were telling him about Jesus, he wasn't saved. And so one day I told Marion, I said, don't tell him nothing no more, don't talk to him about Jesus. I said, I ain't talking to him about Jesus, nobody else talked to him about Jesus. Then Jesus got to talking to him. He said, why y'all ain't saying nothing? Why y'all not bothering me? Sometimes y'all bother the hell in people. You know what I'm saying. Y'all just bother. She's like Jehovah's Witness. Don't come to my house and ring my doorbell unannounced telling me about Jesus. Jesus didn't send you. You came on your own. Your headquarters sent you. But then you got in the 8th chapter of Acts, Philip, led by the Spirit. That's it. That's the way you do evangelism. You don't just go up to somebody and say, you know Jesus? See, we think that's right, but it's not right. You need to be led by the Spirit. You're always going to run up on some rejection. That's all right about the rejection, but make sure you're led by the Spirit. All right, that's a side lesson. Side lesson. Let me give you one more. When you're praying in the Spirit, when a believer prays in the Spirit, oh my. When a believer prays in the Spirit, you got to listen very carefully now, you're changing the living field of the believer into the full redemptive will of God. You're changing your living field. Your living field, F-I-E-L-D, into the full redemptive will of God. And that's Romans 8, 26, 28 again, 29. And here I got another one here that I'm not going to tarry with too long, but I want you to get it down. By understanding praying in the Spirit and making application of it, the church or the believer is now coming into their own. You can't come into your own in the Spirit without penetrating the spirit realm. That's why he fills us with the Holy Ghost and gives us evidence of speaking in tongues. And what have happened, let me tell you what have happened, because of a lack of teaching, we have thought that being filled with the Holy Ghost is more important than speaking in tongues. And it's not. Because being filled with the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues, there's no activation. There's no access. Oh, yeah, I know you said, now that praying in tongues, that important? Absolutely. If it wasn't, both of them came from God. If you're not filled, you can't speak. So, write this down. Speaking in tongues carries enormous and valuable benefits for the believer. Speaking in tongues carries enormous and valuable benefits for the believer. Y'all got that? I want y'all to look at that over and over again. It's a powerful statement. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 14. Well, this one really gonna rock your boat, because you probably never heard this before, but this is so powerful, I tell you. I tell you. 1 Corinthians 14. And I'm gonna prove it by scripture, but I'm gonna say something now. When we speak in tongues, how many heard that? We keep a commandment of the Lord. All right. I'm going to show it to you. When we speak in tongues, we keep a commandment of the Lord. Say, what? I didn't see that in the Ten Commandments. All God's commandment is not in the Ten Commandments. God command us through his word. Yes. Before I tell you this one, here's one rolling up in my spirit. I got to get it out. When you speak in, when you pray in the spirit or speak in tongue, you're making a demand on the power of God that cannot be made no other way. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
What? You making a demand. Do you know what it means to make a demand on the power of God? Huh? Do you know what a privilege God has given us as a believer? Not only to give us his son, but to give us his very spirit. And you praying in tongues, you don't know what happening around you. You got everything all messed up. But you know one thing, I'm making a demand on the power of God. And you can't make a demand on the power of God without something changing. God changes everything he touches. Everybody he touches, he changed them. And after he changed them, all they need now is to be taught properly. Remember that. God can touch you and change you. But if you're not taught properly, you're going to look regular just like everybody else. See that young man? He putting his hand on them women's breath, bumping into them women like he in the spirit. That ain't no spirit. That's vulgar. Yes, you're bumping a man's wife. Talk about you in the spirit. Grab a man's wife, fall on the floor with her. You and her on the floor. You whispering in her ear. I tell Karen, get on up in there. Get your hand off my wife. Ain't no Holy Ghost. That's a demon in you somewhere. Ringing my wife's head, got her head going around. Right? My wife, Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin didn't ever do that. He was a prophet. He was one of the greatest prophets ever lived. Lester Cimarron. I was with all of them. Lester Cimarron laid his hand on me. I saw them. I've been around Fred Price. I ain't never saw him do that. What I got to tell you in your ear anyway? What I got to tell you the rest of the people can't hear? Oh, I'll leave it alone. It's asinine, man. It's asinine. That's crazy, man. That's crazy. And intelligent folk look like they're intelligent. I look at them. They look like they're intelligent. All right. In 1 Corinthians 14, 15, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. And then the 37th verse says, let him acknowledge, now Paul talking about all the things he just taught him, that the things which I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Do you see that?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
So praying in the spirit is a commandment of the Lord. Person say, yeah, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't believe all that praying in the tongue all that, you know. I'm just feeling anybody else. You ain't getting no result. It's a commandment of the Lord that you pray in the Holy Ghost. Wow. Wow. When we speak in tongues, we spiritually build an edifice of faith for our lives. You know, and so the question is, ask every believer, is your structure a skyscraper or a shack? Praying in tongue determine what you're going to be in, a skyscraper or a shack. Now, where are you? I'm trying to come to get you out the shack. And let you live a life in the skyscraper. I mean, you don't have to have much degrees and sense to know the difference between a skyscraper and a shack. If your structure is small, there's a God-given plan how you can build yourself up and add on to your faith. Amen.
Amen.
Tongue assist the building up of a wonderful edifice of faith. Tongue, praying in the spirit, when I say tongue, create pictures in our heart of victory in Christ. Holy faith. You see that scripture where it says, I told you what scripture, Jude 9, Jude 20. Let me tell you what holy faith is. Holy faith is supernatural faith working with grace. There ain't no just so that faith come by hearing now. That's a faith. That's a great dimension of faith. He wouldn't tell us about holy faith, these different dimensions of faith. The spirit of faith in 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians 4:13 talk about the spirit of faith. So it's a building of a different dimension of faith. Look with me, 1 Corinthians 14:14. He's speaking in tongues. Look in 1 Corinthians 14:4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. You got Jude 1:20. I just said that. But you, beloved, building yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, hurry up and turn to Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23, because it got something to do with this, too. I talked about your heart a few minutes ago. Turn to Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs. I'm about to close. I got 7 minutes. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Well, when you're praying in tongue, you're keeping your heart. My God. I mean, if you don't get nothing else, I just keep my heart right. Now listen, there's another one. And it's probably going to one I'm going to have to close with. When we speak in tongues, we walk in obedience to the Lord and experience more of the power of his spirit while fulfilling his great commission. In other words, signs, wonders, and miracles can't actually function right in a man or a woman who's not praying in the spirit. Let me say it again. When we speak in tongue, we walk in obedience to the Lord. Got it? Well, how do you know you're walking in obedience to the Lord? Because when you're speaking in tongue, you're speaking the perfect will of God. You can't contaminate it yourself. You can't because you're in another dimension. When we speak in tongues, we're walking obedient to the Lord and experience more of the power of the Spirit while fulfilling his great commission. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to, we can do a better job. See, Jesus returned to Galilee full of power. See, Jesus was showing us how that thing goes. And those three things happened to you. Now, close. Those three things happened to you. See, when you pray in the spirit, I believe you come under open heaven. When you pray in the spirit, I believe the Holy Spirit light on you and remain on you. And when you pray in the spirit, I believe that when God says something, if nobody else don't hear him, you're going to hear him. And I'm talking about hearing with understanding what to do to make it happen. Isn't that good, class?
Yes.
Hearing to understand what to do to make it happen. So there is no impossible case in this room, nor by the large internet audience that watch me every time I preach. I got partners all over the world. And I'm telling them right now, there's nothing impossible. When a person, John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I saw and I heard. When you're in the spirit, you're going to see some things, and you're going to hear some things, and you're going to do some things out of the ordinary. And when you get to that temperament, or when you get to that level, you have to be full of compassion. And the reason you got to be full of compassion is there's a lot of people not going to understand you. And you'll be fighting every day if you don't know. I remember the Lord, I was in a truck back in the pastor. The Lord said, you don't know what that is. All these, you don't. He said, just shut up. I said, yeah, sir. Just shut up. And total peace come on the situation. I was having problems in my neighborhood. You'd call the police for me if I start a lawnmower. And it's normal to cut your yard. Talking about it's too late. Somebody park in front of my house, park side of the street. I mean, everybody parks side of the street, you know. They said, got to move these cars. Call the police. They call the police. So, you know, back in the day, we don't need no police. Let me and you settle this. And so it was going on. They called me and said, the police, yeah, they're writing tickets. So I said, I'll be there in a minute. And by the time I put my leg in the truck, the Lord said, you don't recognize what that is? That's a tantalizing spirit to vex you. I bless you. Just settle down and let me handle them. So I called him back and said, I'm coming home, but I'm not going to bother with it. Just let it go. From that day forward, I absolutely had no problem. The wisest man in the world said, if you don't put wood on the fire, it'll finally go out. Amen. Raise your hand and give God thanks. Raise your hand, give God thanks. Hallelujah. We'll take up there. Y'all just follow that. Follow suit on that and pray in the spirit. Now, for your money, listen. 2 Kings 12 and 4, I got to get you. 2 Kings 12 4. See, because what have happened, that the opposition have activated my spirit again. And I have to preach this till I leave and go to glory. That the body of Christ need to know the finances. 2 Kings 12 4. Reveal to us that money coming is a heart issue. The money that comes to people hard to bring. Look, notice that. 2 Kings, it talks about different levels. The money you're set at. You see it? 2 Kings 12, 4. Huh? It's the right voice, right? It talks about the money, the account, the money that every man, let's see. It said that all the money that come into a man's heart, that bottom statement. To bring in the house of the Lord. All the money that comes to me. See, money comes of the heart. Then 2 Corinthians now. I'm going to be putting these verses to you over and over. 2 Corinthians. I think it's chapter 8 and 7. Look at this. He's talking about the heart. As a man purpose in his heart. What verse that is? What? Nobody here know what I'm talking about? I gave it to you last time. I'll be giving them. You'll know them by the next 3 months. Every time I come, I want you to memorize those verses. No, 2 Corinthians. Let me go with myself. Nobody tell me that. Let me go myself. Don't tell me that. Y'all too long, make me look too bad, and I'm getting myself. Thank God I can read. Still can see. Amen. I'm reading myself. Cause don't tell me nothing. You ain't told me nothing. 9 and 7. Every man according as he purposes in his heart. I want you to underline that. See, you got to understand. You got to purpose your giving in your heart. It got to come to your heart, or you will never get the potential of money coming. Money coming is not a game. It's not a fundraiser. It's to raise the people of God to understand how to tap into their covenant kingdom right to live above this system. Do you understand what I'm saying? See this money? Nobody told these people nothing. They purpose in their heart to sow. And they do that all over the world. I'm going back and I'm preaching some of my, I saw someone I preached 18 years ago that need to be preached today. About passing the money test. Money down loose. Taking authority over money. Money not being your master, but you being money master. Money don't tell you how far you can go and how long you can stay. And money do all that. Money have become a master. That's why the Lord says you can't serve two masters. Put money in this place and serve me. It's easy to have plenty of money. You know, one of my, and if you saw it, it's off there. They put it on the internet and had me drive one of them Rolls Royces. I don't do that. I don't advertise no Rolls Royce. I advertise this book. Rolls Royce is the result. See, I see a man, he come on TV, he got a big Bentley behind him, a big yacht, probably don't own none of it. Him and his wife said, man, don't do that. I never do that. You never see me doing that. I'm not doing that. I'll take a picture every night. I'm not hiding nothing, but I ain't got to be riding no Rolls. I got a revelation. So those two verses, you get those two verses, you need to know it. You need to look at them different type of money, different kind of account. And then the Lord digging some more out. I got outlines all over the house. He digging some more things out. The Lord shoved his hand down in my spirit and told me, he said, pull these stuff out of you now so you can set things in order in my body. I've given this word to you, and they're gonna abuse it and misuse it just for a few dollars. Man said, if you got any demon in your house, your family, some of y'all are watching, any demon in your house, in your family, bring $15.35. Hey, $15.35 can't stop no demon. You need more money than that to stop a demon. But it's all these little crazy adages and little things they're saying. And then people get all excited and sweating and running and jumping. Man, come on. You know, and I have to say something. Man called Dr. Farr and said, Dr. Thompson don't own money coming. Dr. Farr said, yeah, he do. See, I got the copyright for it. We've shut three people down. They years ago, man, making advertisement money coming. The lawyer wrote him, our lawyer, we got a lawyer, she write him a letter. Shut him down. The man, he had enough sense. This boy too young to have enough sense to know he in trouble. Then I thought the pastor would talk to him, but the pastor got up and started saying, you know. He said, I don't like money coming nowhere. Matter of fact, I don't like Leroy Thompson. Well, I'm sure sad he don't like me. All right, you need an envelope for your giving. Lift your hand.